I'll just say a few words now about what brings us here today, as we are on the cusp of the winter solstice. Already, we've heard some readings that begin to point us to what the solstice can offer us. So this time of year, with these very dark days, dark skies, the darkening light is such an invitation to pause, which is, as some of you've mentioned, such a contrast and so needful at this human time of busyness. The solstice, too, with that darkness that can, at times, I think, feel quite oppressive over the course of the fall, is an invitation to invite in that darkness, to perhaps see it more as mystery, as not knowing. And if we can kind of take a bit of that angle, I find that helps allow a sense of not knowing. Then the curiosity is tweaked. And curiosity is all part of the investigative factor of awakening. So we bring our mindfulness to it. And with the curiosity, oh, okay, so what is this? What's happening here? That's the way to find the light. Yeah. Which the solstice also reminds us that there is light. Yeah. So as it gets the darkest it can be in the physical world, perhaps in our hearts, in the wider human world, troubles on the planet, that as it gets darker, 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 the solstice reminds us, there's a turning. And if we turn towards that darkness, we can be there, be in sync with it, be in sync with the deepening from darkness into light, and have some experience of how the darkness is very generative. There's something growing. Can we be curious that there's something growing in that darkness? Yeah. The plants grow in the earth in the darkness, right? The baby grows in the womb in the darkness. Yeah. The darkness is necessary. It can feel such a stretch, can't it? To have some faith that the darkness is necessary for there to be new life and light. So here's a few readings that point to some of this. Some of you have heard this, and some of you have seen. The Christmas cactus that I think of is very much this community's cactus. And many of you have seen this over the years, seen how it blooms every year at this time of year. Such a miracle. Yeah? Beautiful miracle. There it is again. And there are more buds on there. So we have a sweet little piece that was passed to me. Spell of the Christmas cactus. Something magic about knowing it's the darkest days that bring on the buds, the extravagant bloom, because, oh friend, how dark it is. How dark it is. It's been so dark, and many of you pointed to that. Yet we see that. We see that plant. Isn't that something? Now, here's a longer piece from Pablo Neruda that points to many of these qualities of the solstice. And And so just let yourself take in the story of it. And be alert to the different solstice qualities that actually emerge in this poem. And which of the qualities of the solstice is speaking to you right now? Is it about pausing and stillness? Is it about being with the mystery? Is it about going into your own darkness and being curious and seeing generation, the generative effects? Is it about stepping into a knowing that comes out of that darkness, a knowing of light and love? So I think it's all here in this poem. Pablo Neruda, famous poet. Of course, this was written in Spanish, so its translation still holds, and it's called Poetry. It was at that age poetry arrived in search of me. I don't know where it came from winter or a river. I don't know how or when. No, they were not voices, they were not words nor silence, but from a street I was summoned from the branches of night, abruptly from the others, among violent fires or returning alone. There I was, without a face, and it touched me. I did not know what to say. My mouth had no way with names, my eyes were blind, and something started in my soul. Fever or forgotten wings, and I made my own way, deciphering that fire. And I wrote the first faint line, faint, without substance, pure nonsense, pure wisdom. Of someone who knows nothing. And suddenly I saw the heavens unfastened and open, planets, palpitating plantations, shadow perforated, riddled with arrows, fire and flowers, the winding night, the universe. And I, infinitesimal being, drunk with the great starry void, likeness, image of mystery, felt myself a pure part of the abyss. I wheeled with the stars. My heart broke loose on the wind. You hear the journey there? The journey of not knowing, being in the dark, but pausing and listening to the summons from the darkness. The deep acceptance of the not knowing. This is what's really been going through my mind lately, is the imperative to allow not knowing, even as there is a lot of darkness. You know, our own internal darkness, difficulties. Oh, the darkness that we feel with the darkening days. And there's so much terrible darkness in the world these days. So the notion, or rather the instruction, to allow not knowing. Many of you have heard me tell the little story of the fellow going on the pilgrimage, and his teacher said, okay, so what are you doing? He says, well, I'm going on pilgrimage. And he says, okay, so what are you going to do there? And the student says, I don't know. And the teacher says, not knowing is most intimate. And this is our mindfulness, right? It's about being intimate with things as they are, with an open heart. And the thing that we least want to be intimate with is darkness, internal or external. We just don't want to go there. And yet we keep hearing these invitations, these wise words from so many different sources. All the different wisdom traditions talk about it, the poets. Again, I said earlier, there'll be some readings today that are old traditions and there are some that are new ones. So poetry, the Pablo Neruda, is new for most. Here's one I think most of you have heard before. And just an excerpt from Rilke. And he wrote, "I love the dark hours of my being. My mind deepens into them. There I can find, as in old letters, the days of my life already lived and held like a legend, maybe held like a myth, and understood. Then the knowing comes. Then the knowing comes. I can open to another life that's wide and timeless." Entering into those dark hours of our being. Yeah. And what will we find there? And so, to finish off with the most cryptic reading of them all, that many of you have heard before, but this is the one that has been speaking to me the most in this past while with all the many difficulties. So, let's try listening without having to know what it all means and see what emerges from that. So this is T.S. Eliot. "I said to my soul, be still and wait without hope. For hope would be hope for the wrong thing. Wait without love. For love would be love of the wrong thing. There is yet faith, but the faith and the love are all in the waiting, are all in the waiting. Wait without thought, for you're not ready for thought. So the darkness shall be the light, and the stillness the dancing." It's all there. It's all there, what I've just been saying, what the other poets have been saying. It's all there. Can we wait without hope? Hope is a kind of, I think I know what needs to happen next. Really? Yeah. And I just love this. Wait without love, because it'd be love for the wrong thing. I think we've all had that experience. Yeah. We're missing the mark when we're holding fast to our opinions and views. And yet there's faith. Faith in the love is all in the waiting. So that's the mindfulness, right? The patiently being with. Not thinking about, not trying to problem solve, no thought. Just be with. And what do we discover? Ah, so the darkness shall be the light, and the stillness, the dancing. Yeah. The darkness will illuminate, reveal the light. Yeah. The coming into stillness will allow us to respond, to move skillfully, to find our way. So I hope those reflections are of use to you. I hope this season of darkness and emerging light is of help to you. Let's go into our day together.